I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs is a book of practical wisdom. But it is not a book written by men merely collecting the wisdom of men. Unbelievers may at times even quote the book of Proverbs, quoting various sayings of the book of Proverbs that would relate to their own life. But this is not what the book of Proverbs is about. It is not merely a book that contains wise sayings that would have practical value in life. It is a book that teaches us how we can relate to God. And that is what the fear of the Lord is about. And this evening, we want to consider one aspect of this fear. In a very practical way, the Bible teaches us how we ought to deal and understand our wealth, how we ought to relate to God, how we ought to use our wealth. And this is what Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16 is about. The fear of the Lord is better than great treasure. Now, the text here does not say that having little is better than great treasure. Because in Proverbs 15, verse 16, the Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. The Bible does not say that having little is better than great treasure, because that is not true. Just because a person doesn't have much, and just because a person may be poorer, that doesn't mean that he would not wrestle with contentment, with greed, with covetousness. Hence, we cannot simply say that little is better than great treasure. What the Bible says here is that it is better for a person to have little and yet having the fear of the Lord. And it is better for a person to have this fear of the Lord with little than to have great treasure and not to have the fear of the Lord. Hence, the emphasis is not so much on just merely having little, but on the fear of the Lord. To have the fear of the Lord with little is better than to have great treasure and not have the fear of the Lord. And in light of this, this evening, we want to consider three things. The first thing we want to look at and see is, what is this great treasure that the Bible describes here? Because this is a person who has great treasure, but he does not have the fear of the Lord. It is not merely treasure, but this person has great treasure. So he's very rich, he's very wealthy, his life is comfortable, he's well established. But this person does not have the fear of the Lord. And for our first point, we can consider this in two aspects. There is one aspect of the pursuing of the great treasure without the fear of the Lord, and the second aspect of the possessing of this great treasure without the fear of the Lord. When a person starts pursuing after great treasure, not in the fear of the Lord, he disregards God. He seeks his own wealth and fortune with no thought of God. Then, the Bible says, great trouble will come to him. But how do people really seek after great treasure? And so often we see many who are seeking after great treasure, they will not have the fear of God in their hearts. Look at how people scheme, plan, and plot as they seek to advance themselves, as they seek to gain more wealth. And you will see this pursuing after great treasure not only in the rich or amongst the rich, but also amongst the poor. I think we have seen this in many ways, even in our society today. If you just read the news, you can see how people would design creative ways and creative schemes to just gain a little bit more of money. Recently, there are a few frightening news of how there would be people who would try to inject certain gel or jelly into prawns There was a video that was going around that showed these people, we do not know exactly what this substance was. It was not water, but it was a gel-like substance that some people would inject into prawns in order to make it look a bit bigger and juicier so that it can be sold for more money. The same thing also is of chicken, which is why now a lot of people are very afraid. Sometimes they would inject this water or some solution into chicken in order to increase its weight so that when it's sold, it can be sold for more money. You look at the creative ways of men when they want to pursue after great treasure with no fear of God in their hearts. Why do we have things like fake rice, fake egg, contaminated milk? All these things are all the schemes of men in order to pursue money. Now, some of these things and some of these ideas may seem very far away from us. But when we look closer to home, and when we look in our own lives, you also notice that different people have different ways where they would pursue after great wealth without the fear of the Lord. Is this not what students also do when they pursue after their own ambition? When they think that their ambition or their education would prepare them for a brighter future. And so they study so hard because they have dreams. They have a lifestyle that they have already imagined in their minds, and they want to work towards that great treasure. And is it not that in the pursuing of this great treasure, they have forgotten the fear of the Lord? They do not think, they do not care whether such conduct or such behavior would please the Lord, would honor the Lord. Is this also not true of parents who in the seeking and pursuing of great treasure, they have forgotten the fear of the Lord? Now, the other day I was reading the news and I came across this article on kids and money. Now, kids and money is an article not for children, but it was written for parents. It was written to educate parents, to educate their children on investment. And when I read through this article, it was very shocking. Because parents are now taught to educate their children from a young age to start investing. And as reading this article began to break down the various growing up phases of a child. And this article began with the toddlers. The toddlers of a few months to perhaps about 3 years old. Now, how would you educate your child, a three-year-old child, to start investing? So they recommended a few storybooks. Now, it's very, very strange that there will be people who write storybooks, and they say that these storybooks are designed in a way to help the children to learn about investment. How do people do that? But there are storybooks that are written like that. And so they say, buy these storybooks and read them for your children so that your child can start learning to invest. And then they say, when your child enters elementary school, which would be perhaps around our primary school level, because this was an article that was written for American children. And it says, once you enter elementary level, which would be about primary school level, they say, teach your child to buy lottery. And then this article wrote in back brackets, it says, really? So the article wants to make sure that you know that it's not joking. This person is not joking. Really encourage your children to start buying lottery. And then when they enter into now high school or middle school before high school, then introduce them to stocks and shares. That would be about secondary school level. There are people who will grow to great lengths to pursue after great wealth. And I'm not sure, and I'm afraid, that there may be Christian parents who are also encouraging their children to pursue after great wealth, and they do not teach their child the fear of the Lord instead. You teach your children to pursue after great wealth by your example, not only by the words that you say, but also by the lifestyle, the things that you pursue after, the way you plan for your family and for your future. You show them by your example. It has been said many times over this pulpit why the church has been encouraging mothers not to work, to stay at home and take care of your own children, to teach them the fear of the Lord, to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. But you still work. And then if you teach your child the fear of the Lord and you teach them not to pursue after great wealth, yet you set a different example for them, which message do you think would come across louder to them? Teach your children the fear of the Lord, but if you teach them after this pursuing of great wealth, don't you know that there will be trouble therewith? Now, it's not only in the pursuing of great treasures that will lead to the trouble that the Bible describes here. It's also the possessing of great treasures that will lead to this great trouble. When you possess great treasure, you become so comfortable and so secure. You have investments, you have savings, and this becomes the source of your confidence, this becomes the source of your security. Though it may be generalized at times, where there are people who would talk about rich men and the arrogance that they carry. But if you think about it very carefully, sometimes this generalization may hold certain amount of truth to it. It is more natural. It's easier for a rich person to have a greater sense of self-confidence because he's a self-made man. He has achieved all these things with the works of his hand. And look at where he is now. Isn't it more natural for a rich man to be so confident in himself? And those who often possess great treasures, they would not fear the Lord. We have so many examples of those who, when they were poorer and when they were still younger, when they were needy, then even as Christians, they would seek the Lord. They would fear the Lord. But once they have established themselves, they become successful, they become more confident. They are now able to solve their own problems in life. Then they feel and they think that they no longer need the Lord because the great treasure becomes their source of confidence, their security. How so many who are rich with great treasure are so proud and so arrogant. They are tempted to forsake the Lord because they think that they do not need God. The great treasure. Are you such that is pursuing after this great treasure? Or have you been in possession of great treasure without the fear of the Lord? Now, Singaporeans, this message are especially relevant to us. Because living in Singapore, we know that generally, most Singaporeans are living a comfortable life. Yes, definitely there may be some who are poorer, who may be still struggling. But by and large, we are living a more comfortable life. And as a result of that, we become so secure, we become complacent in this great treasure that we have heaped up unto ourselves. But the Bible warns us, do you know that this great treasure that you have, without the fear of the Lord, it will bring great trouble therewith? That's the second thought we want to look at this evening. What is this trouble of having great treasure without the fear of the Lord? Now, the word trouble here is an interesting word. It is used 12 times in the Old Testament, and it has the sense of vexation. In fact, this is a very strong word where the Bible uses it at times to describe destruction as well. This is a destruction that is often caused by war. What are these troubles that would arise as a result of men pursuing and possessing great treasure without the fear of the Lord? At times, the consequence of this trouble may not come immediately. There are many people, you may say, when you look around you, who are pursuing after great treasure without the fear of the Lord. Yet, why is it that it seems like no consequence have come upon them? Yes, while this consequence may not be apparent or may not come immediately, yet the Bible makes it very plain and clear that these troubles will come. And there are real practical consequences to the pursuing after this great treasure without the fear of the Lord. How many wars were fought in the past as a result of people pursuing after wealth? And sometimes this wealth can come in different forms. It can come in the form of the land, the wealth of the land. It can come in the form of certain possessions. How many wars were fought in the past as a result of people pursuing after this great treasure? No wonder we see all this destruction that comes about due to this great treasure without the fear of the Lord. But do you realize, beyond that, the Bible also tells us that there are spiritual consequences that will also come in the pursuing after this great treasure without the fear of the Lord. You see, this word trouble is used several times in the Bible also to describe God who brings about this vexation. Where God is the one who brings about this destruction when His own people forsake Him. Now, one example of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. Now, just look very quickly in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. Over here, this great trouble, this vexation, is used to describe the cursing that the Lord brings about as a result of a person forsaking the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20, the Bible says, "The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." This was a warning that the Lord issued upon His own people. The Lord gave to the children of Israel, warning them that if they go after wealth or riches, or they go after other gods, and they forsake the Lord is the one who will bring upon them this cursing, vexation, and rebuke. Now you see the word vexation in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 20. This is the same word for trouble described over here in Proverbs. The Lord Himself will bring upon this vexation because of the wrongdoings which are a result of God's people forsaking God. Now we see that in the life of King Solomon himself. When he forsook his God, when the Bible tells us how his wealth, his wives, his chariots took his heart away from God. And of course, his chariots would describe the military might, his power and his authority. The woman would describe the seeking of pleasure, and his wealth that would be the great treasure. It took his heart away from God. And what happened to King Solomon when his heart forsook the Lord? What was the great trouble that the Lord brought upon the land? The kingdom was divided. And not only was the kingdom divided, the kingdom became so polluted. Generations that came after could not remove and get rid of the idolatry that is in the land because of the stubbornness and the wickedness in their hearts. You see the history of Israel, how they kept making to themselves alliances with the enemies of God. When the Lord threatened them with the Assyrians, how they went to the Babylonians. When the Lord warned them of the Babylonians which is to come, then they went to the Assyrians, to the Egyptians, just finding anyone who can deliver them from these destructions that they would bring. Is this not the great trouble that they had to endure that resulted in this captivity because of the greed that was in the heart? And when we look at our time and our age, it is the same. The pursuing of great treasure has brought about great trouble. Not only can we see this in history in the past, in most recent history, we see this as well. The whole case surrounding this church with the crossover project, City Harvest Church, was it not surrounding this whole issue of also pursuing of great treasure? And what was the trouble that was brought? You know, the trouble that was brought is not just the physical problem that arose, but the trouble that is brought is also now the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is shamed. Because when you talk to an unbeliever, they do not know the distinction between a charismatic church and a conservative church, a charismatic church and a fundamental church, a reformed church. They cannot tell the distinction. They would just look at Christianity as a whole. And now they would say, what is this Christianity? It is a money-making enterprise. It is a business. Has it not brought about this kind of great treasure? Great trouble as a result of pursuing after great treasure? Now we see this kind of great trouble also in the home. As a result of pursuing great treasure and possessing great treasure without the fear of the Lord, what are the kinds of great troubles and the vexation that we have witnessed in our own homes? You can speak to parents who now have children that are all grown up. And you speak to parents where both parents have worked. Do you think that they do not have any regrets? Especially when parents see how their family, it may have the semblance of peace, it may be wealthy, it may be comfortable, yet there are children who have now departed from the Lord. Children who no longer fear the Lord. And all these are but a consequence, and at times these consequences may not come immediately. Of course, when your children are still growing up, maybe within 5 years, you cannot see the effects yet. But these consequences will surely come, because the Bible says, you pursue after this great treasure without the fear of the Lord. There will be great troubles therein. This is the heavy hand of the Lord. The Bible keeps warning us of this great trouble. How so many families, you can read this on the news, because of the inheritance that is left behind by the father, you now see siblings fighting amongst themselves. Brothers and sisters, brothers and brother amongst brother. When these brothers and sisters are supposed to be of the same blood, of the same flesh, then why do they have now this kind of hatred? All because of great treasures. Do we not have the testimony of Scripture and the examples in life to show us those who keep pursuing after great treasure without the fear of the Lord, what are the consequences of it? Now, how then can we overcome these things? The Bible tells us, better it is to have little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure. How can we guard ourselves against this aimless pursuit and heading down this path of destruction? Seek after the pleasantness of the fear of the Lord. Now, when the Bible says better is little, the Bible is saying that it is good. It is good to have little with the fear of the Lord. And the Bible is saying that it is pleasant. It is a pleasant thing. It is something that is very sweet. It's something that will satisfy you. It's something that will fulfill you. It is a pleasant thing to have little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and all this trouble within. Why? Why is it that even though we have little, but we fear the Lord, why would it be a pleasant thing? It is a pleasant thing because the Lord will be your trust. This is the trust that you would have in the Lord. And what the Bible is saying here is that when you trust in the Lord, even when you have little, because you have placed your fear in the Lord, you submit to His will, you trust in His providence, you will experience the faithfulness of the Lord, and it will be sweet. Do you trust in the Lord? The fear of the Lord brings about this quiet confidence and trust in the Lord, knowing that the Lord is faithful, knowing that the Lord is in control. And even if the Lord were to give me little, I fear the Lord, I trust Him. I know that He is God. I know He's sovereign over all. I trust Him. My friends, teach your children to have this fear of the Lord, even from a young age. Teach them not to depend merely on their own planning. Teach them not to depend on their investment, on manipulations, on schemes. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Teach them not to use deceptions and lies, the methods that the world would use to gain treasure. Teach them the fear of the Lord, and it will be sweet. Because even when they have little, when they place their trust in the Lord, they would taste of the Lord's faithfulness. How many of us can testify? And I'm sure there are many in our midst who can testify of this truth. That even though at times you may have lack physically, yet when you have placed your trust in the Lord, you have seen the faithfulness of the Lord, how the Lord in His own time and His own way either provided for you, provided for your family, delivered you, or the Lord granted you His grace to go through this affliction, to go through a difficult situation, how the Lord has taught you patience. And through all of these things, you can say that the Lord's grace is sufficient for you. Have you not experienced the sweetness of it? The fear of the Lord with little is better than great treasure, because you will learn to taste and see that the Lord is good. You will learn to trust Him. Now, why is it also that the Bible says better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure? Because here, there's a contrast. It must mean that because God will be your treasure. When you fear the Lord, it is sweet because the Lord will be your treasure. You know, when the Lord is your treasure, you would not want to pursue after the treasures of this world anymore. This will not be your satisfaction, because the Bible tells us that the root of all evil is the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And you know that all the wealth, all the possessions, all the things of this world cannot satisfy you. It no longer fulfills you. You just ask those who keep pursuing and chasing after the wealth of this world. What is the most disappointing thing in life? You ask many who are successful, many who are rich, and when they come to the end of their life, when they have all these things that they have gained, ask someone like Solomon. Ask them, what is the most disappointing thing in life? They would tell you that the most disappointing thing is not where, having pursued after all these things in life, they do not get it. But it's where, after pursuing after all these things in life, they get it. They get everything that they want, and they realize that it does not satisfy them. That it's all vain, it is all empty, it is all useless. That was how Solomon felt, and that was what he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. He was not speaking as a man who had in his mind an ambition and a goal, and when he pursued after it, he could not reach his dream. It was not a case of sour grapes, where he saw these grapes that were so juicy and delicious and he wanted to get it, but he could not get it. That was not the case of Solomon. It was a case of where he saw it, he wanted it, and he got all these things that he ever dreamt of. But yet, having gotten all that his heart's desired, he says, is but vanity and vexation of spirit. Because all the great treasures of this world cannot fulfill us. But God, when you fear Him, the Lord will be your treasure. The Lord will be your satisfaction. The Lord will be your deliverer. When you fear the Lord, your will now be submitted to the Lord's will. Wherever He leads you, wherever He directs you, you follow. And even if that means having little. And when you know that you are in the center of God's will, you are in obedience to God's will, how the Lord brings this peace, this satisfaction, this fulfillment in your heart, where you have this quietness, where even though you may have little, you know you do not need any other thing because you have the Lord. Do you have this fear of the Lord in your heart? Do you know that this fear of the Lord will keep you from all these troubles? It will keep you from all this evil because it keeps you humble. When you have the fear of the Lord with little, you will be constantly reminded that you are nothing without the Lord. The Lord will keep you humble. And this is what verse 33 of the book of Proverbs also say. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord will be our keeper because it keeps us humble. It will show us and remind us that we are just but men and that God is God. We will never think that I'm a self-made man. We will never think I'm the captain of my own life, my own soul, my own destiny. We will not think that I'm the king of my own kingdom. We will always have the fear of the Lord where we remember that God is king. And how this will keep us from this kind of pride that great treasures often bring. Now, a good example of this is King Nebuchadnezzar. When he looked at the palace that he had, when he looked at the kingdoms that he conquered, when he looked at the wealth that he possessed, did he not in great pride boasted against the Lord and say, "Look at all these things that I have." And the Lord humbled him. The Lord struck him down with madness, where for 7 years he lived like a beast. And after that great experience, did not Nebuchadnezzar himself declare that there is only one living and true God? The Lord gave him the fear of God in his heart. Great treasures will bring about great trouble. So often this great trouble is because of the pride and the arrogance of men. It's so tempting for those who are rich and powerful to be so arrogant. And even in the way they treat one another, they treat each other, one another with pride. They put others down. They oppress others. But what would guard your heart from that? It is the fear of the Lord. And even when you have little, or even if you have much, when you have the fear of the Lord, you will know that He is God. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. So in all your pursuing and in all your possessing, pursue after the fear of the Lord. Possess the fear of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord will be your trust. It will be your treasure. It will be your keeper. Many would still continue to pursue after this great treasure, but they only would bring to themselves much trouble and hurt. Would you still be such a one who want to experience this pain and trouble? But only then you would turn and seek the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is better than great treasures. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we pray that Thou will give us the fear of Thee in our hearts, where we will not look to our wealth, our possessions, the material things that we have, to be our satisfaction, to be our security, and to be our trust. O Lord, we have sinned in Thy word, and even in how things have unfolded in life. This great treasure has brought about so much great trouble. And O Lord, we pray that in seeing these things and hearing your word, you will teach us to be humble. Teach us to have the fear of thee, that we will not pursue after this great treasure blindly, without the fear of thee, to our own hurt. O Lord, renew again this fear of thee in our hearts. Help us to be ever conscious of thy presence with us in everything that we do, in our goals, in our ambitions, in our conduct, in our lifestyle, in our entertainment. Give us this fear of thee. For indeed, how rich we are when we have this fear of thee. It is a great treasure to us. So Lord, we pray that thy grace would enable us. For at times we find our flesh weak. We find that we still want to seek after the things of the world. But help us, O Lord, we pray. May thou keep these words in our hearts. For we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.